Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Good Morning Football!
Bryce taking a shot. Bryce Young threads the needle.
Touchdown, Bryce Young.
This guy is good, I'll tell you.
He's got a nice arm, huh?
Anthony Richardson is dangerous in the open field.
Stroud doing what he loves to do. It's a beautiful downfield throw. Wow, what a throw.
Stroud fires deep down to the end zone, and it is grabbed in the end zone. C.J. Stroud.
Levis fires, throws a dart.
Let's it go. Right on the money.
Love the decision here by Will Levis.
That's what they did then. What will they do next? Before the draft, be sure to stream all the biggest pro days on NFL Plus tomorrow. You can catch C.J. Stroud's pro day at Ohio State, followed by Bryce Young in Alabama on Thursday, Will Levis in Kentucky Friday, and then Florida quarterback Anthony Richardson closes us out on March 30th. You can see it all right here on NFL Plus. Sign up now and learn more at plus.nfl.com. What's happening? Welcome to Good Morning Football. We are live in New York City. It's Tuesday, March 21st. I'm Jamie Erdahl. Kyle Brandt is here. Jason McCourty is there. And Tom Pelissero, my fellow Minnesotan, is down the diagonal from me. Sarah Walsh, I appreciate your dedication to the cause over the last six shows she was covering while I was doing the NCAA tournament.
Jamie's back. How you feeling?
I feel awesome. I'm addicted to basketball, but I had to come back to this to make sure I shared my opinions on many of things that happened in free agency.
That's right.
You know what? I think we got to do this properly. I'm going to come over here. Jamie Erdahl, you've been covering the NCAA tournament. Did you miss us? Because Jason McCourty thought you were never coming back.
No. I know he was worried. The games were unbelievable, but I got to have a milkshake, and I had a clipboard snap right in front of me, and I made a friend in Tom Izzo who were trying to get on the show.
Let's go.
All
right, I'm going to do it like you, Jamie. What is it like to cover March Madness and have it be your second coolest job?
I don't know. It's like so emotional. It's hard to come back at.
Back to you guys. Incredible. Jamie.
We don't probably say it enough that we're probably all decent at our jobs, but you were awesome.
So
down
good.
There on the sidelines, post game. It was a pleasure to watch you. People are like, Jamie Erdahl, doesn't she work with you guys? I'm like, yeah, she's her own superstar. So you killed it. Happy that you decided to come back to the show.
Thank you. Appreciate I really appreciate all sure. that. I for do. Sure. I do. Yeah.
Kyle nailed the impression there. Your ability to pull everybody in. Like, I'm always going, how is she getting them? Like, you seem like you're up and over the top. You're comforting them, but you're also congratulating them. It's a fantastic balance.
Well, I appreciate there's a tough dynamic there. Here's like inside the weeds. Is that like that Tobin Anderson, the FDU coach, that was the one that everybody was like, man, you really had a grip on that guy. He was like not steady on his feet in like an emotional way. Like we're getting like knocked into and he's like having the moment of his life. And he had me around like this, like he's hugging me because he's, and so what are you supposed to do with this arm? You know, like, am I just going to like let it hang here as we have this, or am I just going to come in for the real thing? You got to hug him.
You were steadying him, I think.
We were, yes,
in the best
exactly.
moment of his life.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Fantastic.
Later on in the show, we're going to get all the way into the weeds.
Okay, let's
go.
That was fantastic. Right, time for the lead block.
Lead block.
It feels good to say. Here's a reminder of the first 10 picks in this year's NFL draft. We've already seen some movement as the Panthers hold the number one overall spot by virtue of a trade with the Chicago Bears that took them from the ninth pick all the way up to the top spot. Here's Panthers GM Scott Fitterer when asked yesterday about his team's plans.
If you're going to go up, you better have conviction. And we have conviction on players at that top that we feel good about. We're still going through the process right now. I mean, obviously we have our ideas. You know, you're not going to make a move like that without having that pretty much cemented.
If there's 10 categories that you look at in a quarterback, or any player for that matter, the real question is not how to evaluate each of those categories. That's a part of the question. A big part of the question is how much are you going to weight each of those categories.
You weigh that stature piece of.
Yeah, I mean, that would be like giving the proprietary formula for Kentucky Fried Chicken, right? I mean, you know, I mean.
Oh, that's funny. So the category that those reporters are most concerned with is Alabama quarterback Bryce Young's stature. You know, do they have conviction about 5'10" and an eighth of an inch? Or do you add a couple inches and go with C.J. Stroud? It just depends on what you want to cook for dinner tonight. Frank Reich, the head coach of the Panthers, now not giving up the 11 herbs and spices that they'll use to evaluate players worthy of their first pick in the draft. Intrigue, Jason. Sprinkle some of that on top of your Kentucky Fried Chicken.
My Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'm more of a Popeyes guy, but that's neither here nor there. But as I look at this number one pick last night, I'm like, all right, let me do a little bit of research. Let me dive into all the mock drafts that are all over the internet. And it's just like, you look at the first four that pop up on your internet search, and it was like, all right, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, and Will Levis. It was each mock draft had a different quarterback going first overall. And I think it's wonderful because, like Scott Fitterer and like Frank Reich said, there's so many categories that you dive into. And it's like, all right, which category is the Carolina Panthers? Which one are they going to fall in love with? And how are they going to weigh these quarterbacks? And I think leading up to this draft, they don't know and we don't know. And I think that's the best part, because going into draft night, we're all on the edge of our toes waiting to see what the insiders are saying, who's going to be the number one pick. And it had me thinking, I'm just like, all right, you have four quarterbacks there. How do you figure out which one to go to? And what is that comparable to? And I think about our audience. They wake up every single morning. And at first, I'm like, all right, maybe you wake up and you're craving some ice cream. But there's like 31 flavors. So there's too many to choose from. Mm. But you turn on NFL Network and you see Good Morning Football. And you see four people at the desk. And it gets you thinking, all right, how am I going to choose? Which host am I going to be in love with? Oh, so then you start to look. And you look at the all the way to the far left. And you see Kyle Brandt there. And it's just like, all right, angry ones, energy, funny as hell. Is that going to be the personality that I'm going to go with today? Then you slide over one. You see Jamie, the beauty of the show, the person that ties us all together, that has takes from every single angle. Then you keep sliding over. You see Tom Pelissero. It's like the insider. Do I want to know what goes on behind closed doors? Do I want the inside scoop this morning? And then you go all the way to the far right, and you're just like, well, I mean, that guy's the total package. If I'm just in the mood to just have it all, the brains, the beauty, everything that you can see underneath the sun, then you go with that guy. But there's four different options, and either one of them, you can't go wrong. And for the Carolina Panthers, they're trying to determine which option they're going to go with for the first pick. And there's so many different things to go. We talked about Bryce Young's weight and his height, but you may talk about the accuracy of Anthony Richardson. How are you going to determine which guy is going to be your guy is the toughest thing for the Carolina Panthers.
It's great. And you know what? Like the combine and the pro days are like a little sample. Can I get a little sample on that stupid little spoon?
You try to do the sample. Love that
spoon. I just think it's great that we're welcoming Jamie back in an opening segment about ice cream and fried chicken. I mean, it's so perfect for you. It's what you love. It's what you're into.
Why is it not out here?
I know. We need a lazy Susan.
Jason,
and
if
just
you're
going
to have an
around.
Ice cream
you're
segment, right. I need four flavors, and I need you to really do the deep dive
on it. That's my fault.
Break room break.
You had enough milkshakes and stuff.
I did not. Never enough milkshakes.
We're going to get into that milkshake, by the way. Do you know what David Tepper, the owner of the Panthers, legendarily has on his desk? Do you know it, Tom?
I do, but I'm not sure I should say it on TV.
I'm going to say it. He has a pair of brass cojones on his desk. It's like a little metaphor about being bold and aggressive. I think that man figures massively in all of this. I think that man is why they're at number one to begin with. They already made a huge swing. Understand that David Tepper, the owner of the Carolina Panthers, is a self-made billionaire who could have just spent the rest of his life on a yacht and said, I'm going to buy an NFL team with the largest purchase price of all time. He beat out another bidder because he was already a part owner of the Steelers, so he was already vetted, and he was a sole investor. He did not have co-investors. He was liquid. In the same time, he has also bought a soccer team, Charlotte FC. Charlotte FC has struggled since David Tepper bought them. The Carolina Panthers have struggled. They're 29-53 since David Tepper bought them. This is not why he got off the yacht and off the helipad. He didn't come in there and get his teeth kicked in the NFC South and mess around with P.J. Walker and Will Greer and Kyle Allen and Taylor Hines. No, he came in here to win. Otherwise, what the hell am I doing here? I think that's why they're the number one pick. I also think that he's calling the shots here in so many ways. I think the number one pick is intriguing. I don't think it's chalk. I don't think it's Bryce or CJ. Could he do something crazy and take Richardson number one overall because he has billionaire thoughts and he wants to go big and he wants to win this thing and get the best possible athlete? Yes, I really do. I think if this was an old school football guy who's owned a football team for 30 years and is going by the book and conventional, you just go with the scout saying, you trust him, and here we go. I think David Tepper's into making empire moves, as Heisenberg would say. We're not here to go 8-7 or 7-8 or whatever the hell the math works out to this year. I think we're here to win a Super Bowl. I think he's going to swing out of his shoes on this. And if it doesn't work, maybe he sells the team, goes back to the yacht. That's the luxury he has. I think he is suffering in soccer, suffering in football, and that's not why he's playing the game. I think Tommy could go anywhere, and I think this is big-time an owner's pick. That's why you get into the game to make picks like this.
Well, give David Tepper credit for what he's done this offseason. He gave them a lot of resources. When you look at not just hiring Frank Reich, but the staff that they put together, and you've got this unique mix of the veteran coaches bringing in Adam Capers as part of your staff, and then you've got the young up-and-comers, Jiro Evero being the defensive coordinator, which was not an inexpensive move. Thomas Brown being the offensive coordinator. Guys like Sean Jefferson coming in as the wide receivers coach. That's putting money into the staff to put the right people around, make sure this team and this young quarterback are going to have the right supporting cast. Now, Frank Reich being the head coach, and he talked yesterday about what he looks for, and of course didn't want to give anything away, but is it fair to say Frank Reich might have a type for the quarterback that he's looking at? Look at the physical attributes of the quarterbacks that Frank Reich had during his time in Indianapolis. Pretty tall guys. They all are kind of the same shape, more or less. 6'4", 6'5", big, strong, pocket passing types. You know, Luck could move, Wentz could move, but Matt Ryan, Phillip Rivers, Jacoby Brissett, they're all kind of those big-bodied pocket passers. So now, Frank Reich said yesterday, well, I also got a really high grade on Russell Wilson when he was coming out. Well, that's fine. But so far, every bit of your track record says you want that traditional body type. And you brought up the comparison, okay, the four of us on the set, who would you take? Well, I guess I'm probably the Bryce Young of this, not just because I might be the best, but also because we're the same height. And I don't know that that fits what Frank Reich is looking for here. With Bryce Young, you've got everything in the package, everything that you look for when you talk to scouts and coaches about him, how he throws the football, the processing, the style of offense that he comes out of here. The one thing, it's not just the height, but it's also just the overall size. He's a smaller framed guy. He played it like a buck 86 last year, put on a bunch of weight for the combine. Are you going to be able to convince yourself that we can make this work? Are we going to have to get him outside the pocket because you got these big 6'6" defensive linemen in front of him? We're going to play a different style of offense. These are all the things that they've got to evaluate moving forward. And, yeah, that absolutely leads a lot of intrigue to this.
Well, what's promising about what Bryce Young just had to go up against in the last couple of years is that the guys coming out of the SEC on the defensive side of the ball are 6'6", and they have long arms. So he's facing a Georgia defense that feels like they have top 10 picks left and right over the last couple of years. So it's not something that Bryce Young hasn't seen before. Can I see the screen again with the quarterback prospect? Because what I love about the ice cream flavors here is that they are all so different, not only in their size, but of their style of play, of their experience. Bryce Young is coming off of winning a Heisman, winning a national championship. He was a toast of the town in Tuscaloosa. In the SEC, C.J. Stroud, a plethora of experience, but like, is there a question about what his willingness to run the ball? Anthony Richardson has, what, a dozen games, if that, under his belt for college football? And then Will Levis is kind of the elder statesman of the group. Their size is different, their experience, their personalities are different. And this is where the intrigue comes. It's the Panthers, and subsequently the picks after the Panthers, are going to tell us their personality, the personality of the team that they are investing in for the future. True. And it's a total domino effect, because once the Panthers go, Then the Texans have something to decide, and so on and so forth, the Colts. So it's not just about the first team. The intrigue lies, and I think the next four or five picks. Speaking of the Texans and the direction that they are going in, what do we got for us in the free agency?
The Texans continue to be the kings of the mid-level NFL contract. Everybody else is trying to go either veteran-type deals, the minimum-type deals, or it's the big deals. The Texans, year after year under Nick Caserio, do these one-year deals that are pretty good. They did another one yesterday. Dalton Schultz, the former Cowboys tight end, coming in on a one-year deal that's worth up to $9 million. Now, Schultz's numbers were down a little bit last year when he was playing on the franchise tag. He also played through a pretty significant PCL injury for most of the season. Similar deal like the Lamar Jackson had. Schultz braced it up, kept going out on the field. That probably impacted his tape through the course of the year. And the whole tight end market just didn't go where people expected it to this year in free agency. So he's still 26 years old, gets a one-year deal, should see like 100 targets there, hits the market again next year. Another one of those one-year deals, Devin Singletary, former Bills running back, headed to Houston on a one-year deal worth up to $3.75 million. Now they got Damian Pierce, but it can't be 50 Damian Pierce touches every single game. So you bring in Singletary, he'll be the complement to Pierce in that backfield. Another guy who's got a chance to make himself some money, play a good role, and they're building that thing up around whatever young quarterback that they maybe, probably, likely, take a number two.
What'd you call them? The kings of the
mid-level deal.
Mid-level deal.
If you look over the last several years, everybody else will try to do those minimum deals. The Texans will go, no, we'll give you $2-3 million. We'll get you in. Well, that's how they've been bringing guys there. Some of them work, some of them don't, but you create competition. Yeah. You build from the middle of your roster up, not unlike how it worked in New England,
too. First year signed like 40 free agents, all on deals like that.
Right.
That's crazy.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to do my game.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days, like literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50. And it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
Giddy up. Baker Mayfield and the Bucks have made it official. Yeah. Mayfield signed his one-year deal worth up to $8.5 million yesterday in Tampa. He was asked on NFL Now if he feels like he needs to fill one Tom Brady's shoes.
I'm not Tom. I'm not going to try and beat Tom. He's the greatest quarterback to ever play the game, and he deserves that recognition. Those are big shoes to fill, but I'm just going to try and wear my own.
All right. It's time for a game of big deal or no big deal. We'll start first with what we just heard from the new Buccaneers quarterback, at least the newest one in the room. Baker Mayfield doesn't seem pressured to fill Tom Brady's shoes. Jason, is that a big deal or not a big deal?
No big deal. I think with Baker Mayfield, this is what I was expecting him to say. And the comparisons, Tom Brady, we saw Baker last year headbutting teammates. Tom did it for years. But Baker Mayfield talked about, they asked him, like, last year, was it humbling? And he said, no, it didn't humble me. It just showed me that I can push through anything. And I think that's the confidence level that Baker Mayfield has always had. So I don't think he's stepping in this like, oh, my goodness, I'm behind Tom Brady. It's just like, nah, I just got to go there and beat Baker Mayfield and let my talent, my passion and my energy show through. So I'm excited to see him in Tampa, and I believe every word that he said. Mm-hmm. He's not worried about who he's following. He's just worrying about going there, performing, and showing that he is still that number one pick that went to Cleveland.
I feel the same way you do, but I do think it's a big deal because I think that's one of his greatest assets. I think he is the most unafraid quarterback we have in the league. Like, just, I don't know if he's, how good he is right now, but he's completely unafraid. Michael Jackson passed away before it was supposed to be his final tour, and they planned it, and they prepared it, and they choreographed, and he passed away. Baker Mayfield could have filled in for Michael Jackson on that tour, and he wouldn't be nervous. He'd just be like, yeah, I got it. No problem. Now, I don't know if he could pull it off, but he would not shake in his shoes at all. He'd be like, look, Michael's shoes, big ones to fill, but I'm going to wear my own. And he would go out there and give it his best. Now, he may go out and throw four interceptions in the first game for the Buccaneers, but I love the confidence. I will only say this. This is third shot as a starter. And I don't count the Rams thing. Third shot. That's it. You don't get a fourth shot. I love Baker. I think he's great for the league, and I think he has a huge arm and is very accurate. But this is probably the last shot. I think he's going to win that competition. I'm calling it in March. Kyle Trask, sure. I think Baker Mayfield will start week one for the Bucs. You won't start week one for another team. It just doesn't work that way. You better be confident.
Baker could probably dance like Michael, too. Remember those videos back in Oklahoma?
Oh, yeah.
He could move.
I
couldn't help but think, as I was listening to that quote from Baker Mayfield. Kyle, could you actually just give me a dramatic reading? Look into that camera right there. Just give me a dramatic reading of the quote, please.
This should be good.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not Tom. I'm not going to try to be Tom. Oh. He's the greatest to ever play the game, and he deserves that recognition. I'm going to be myself. Tom was himself. Scene. That's it. That's it. That's all I got.
We were supposed to see me and Splits during that. It was about me. But that works. It's good. And now you're soaked.
Cool myself off. Fantastic. A little bit.
Scene.
I wasn't off the hook. I'm sorry. I had to use the cue cards. It's great, though. I love an improvisational exercise. Why do you go to that, Tom?
No, because it was supposed to be, you were supposed to be seeing me like it's about me. That was the joke, because I'm Tom, but didn't work. Jamie, you.
Okay, great. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal.
I did all that for nothing?
Apparently, yeah.
I mean, I know this side of the table enjoyed the commitment.
You wash
like
your face.
Like a scene from Airplane. Just right in your
face. My drinking problem.
Is it a big deal? It's not a big deal. If it would have been concerning if he had said, like, yeah, I can't wait to do exactly what that man has done. Then it just would have been like, let's rain. I'm like, just no, take the fire extinguisher if that was how that was going to go. But no, not a big deal. Baker, thank you for answering a question in a mature way that does not lead us to, like, have an entire segment about you today. I appreciate that about you. Time for Lee Block.
Lee Block. Lee Block.
At the time, it was difficult to believe that this would be the last time that we would see Aaron Rodgers in a Packers uniform walking off Lambeau Field after a bitter loss to the Lions that kept Green Bay out of the playoffs. But in reality, now the belief has sunk in and we have to face the music, as do the Packers and the Jets. Now, as if one former MVP quarterback isn't in limbo enough, we have two. I'm looking at you, Lamar Jackson. Tom, where do we stand with the almost all but certain potential Aaron Rodgers trade to the Jets?
Packers and Jets have been negotiating for weeks. As of now, they are not there yet on agreeing to compensation for Aaron Rodgers, who, of course, declared his intentions on the Pat McAfee show last week, saying his intention now is to play and to play for the Jets. So the Packers are not looking for the type of package that the Broncos gave up last year for Russell Wilson, which was two twos, two ones, and three players. They're not looking for multiple ones like the Rams ended up giving up in the Matthew Stafford deal on top of Jared Goff, though Goff had a bloated contract. There were some moving parts in that one. The calculus is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. They're also not, the Packers are not going to take the type of, you know, third round pick that Matt Ryan brought the Falcons last year during that trade. Somewhere in between is the magic formula of how this trade gets done. They're not far apart, but they're not close at this point. So where are the important checkpoints as we move forward? Well, 1 week from now, All the teams will be in Arizona for the NFL League meeting, which means Brian Gutekunst, Joe Douglas in the same place, at least for a while. I don't know with pro days how much they'll be there. Mark Murphy, Woody Johnson will be in the same place as well. The next real checkpoint along the line in terms of the pressure point is going to be the draft, which is the last week of April. Mm-hmm. Because at that point, if we get beyond the draft, now the Packers aren't getting 2023 draft picks that help you this year. Now, any draft capital is out into 2024 and beyond. And so that's going to be where perhaps it's okay. Do we take the best thing possible right now, the Jets' best offer, or do we go beyond it? Because if you go beyond it, this is George Costanza driving his in-laws to a non-existent house in the Poconos. This is full on like, okay, you got Jets, you want to ruin your season? We can go as long as you want to go. Because there's no reason then the Packers logistically have to do anything with Aaron Rodgers until you get into training camp. Now, obviously the Jets at some point would want Rodgers to be there late July when they open camp. Rodgers can, even though he's still under contract with the Packers, there's no rules barring him from, oh, I don't know, booking flights for all the Jets wide receivers and Alan Lazard and his buddies and bringing them all out to California to throw with them there and kind of get the training. He already knows the offense because Nathaniel Hackett was with him in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. But in terms of actually getting him on the field, the trade obviously has to be executed. So if you don't get something done by the start of training camp, now we're into a different phase of the stare down where the only remaining checkpoint is really the day before the regular season opener, which is where the Packers would have to exercise Aaron Rodgers' option bonus. Now, at that point, you know, the Packers have to make a decision. Either way, they owe him $60 million at that point. Mm-hmm. But the Jets are so far beyond actually getting him integrated that it's hard to imagine it goes that far. So, again, the real checkpoint here to watch, the pressure point, is going to be that week of the NFL draft. Could happen before then.
Yeah.
Could be one phone call today. Just, you know what? You're right. Deal done. I don't get the sense over the last couple of days that anything has moved substantially. It could change today again with one phone call. But if not, and if they don't work out something face-to-face next week, then really you're talking about getting right down to draft week before potentially
ever. Can you indulge us a scenario? Let's say that the Jets are negotiating and working and working and working, and the Packers just won't blink and won't blink. And the Jets say, we're changing plans. We're not in the Aaron Rodgers business anymore, and we're going to make do either with Zach Wilson or we're going to pick up a free agent, and they're out. What do the Packers do with Rodgers then?
Well, the Jets, the options have dwindled for the Jets. Mm-hmm. Because unless you're going to go all in on Lamar Jackson, who are you going to get?
Zach Wilson.
You're going to sign Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah.
I mean, they're absolutely going to sign a veteran. They're not just
going
to roll
with a trade for maybe a guy like Tannehill.
If he becomes available, that would be another potential pivot point. There's a connection there with Todd Downing being on the staff with the Jets now. But they're very much all in on Aaron Rodgers at this point. Yeah. The owner is very much all in on Aaron Rodgers at this point. So, I mean, could that happen? Hypothetically, sure. Aaron Rodgers is only counting $32 million or so on the Packers' salary cap right now. Mm-hmm. It's a number they budgeted for because there was a time in this offseason where they thought, hey, he might come back.
Yeah.
We want him back as long as he's fully bought in. Then, obviously, Rodgers made certain decisions on his end. I want to go this other direction. You know, obviously, if they'd worked out the trade prior to giving Rodgers permission to speak to the Jets, this is all a lot simpler.
Yeah.
My understanding was they had those talks. They couldn't agree to it. You're on a timeline here. You can't just keep pushing the initial conversation back. So you need answers. And so they said, okay, you can talk to him, and then we're going to work out the trade compensation. They're not there yet. I don't see much of a scenario where the Jets pivot off it until you absolutely have to. Now, could that happen at the end of July? Could that happen into August? It depends in part. Does somebody else shake loose? Is there some other opportunity that arises here? But very much, they want Aaron Rodgers to be the quarterback of the Jets. Aaron Rodgers wants to be the quarterback of the Jets. There's a pretty big thing that still needs to take place. And I appreciate Aaron narrowing this down for us. It's all about the trade. That's what it's been about for several weeks now. And we'll see if they can bridge that gap.
Let's flip it from the Jets, though, back to the Packers. Mm-hmm. As your point is that they're one of the major stoppages in the clock is the draft. And that is if they want compensation for this year's draft. Mm-hmm. But the Packers aren't a bad team. It's not like they are in dire need of, like, more picks for this year's draft. This year's draft is highly skilled. But what about, like, the sliding scale trade of, like, what we saw with Stafford, which is the Lions, Stafford went to the Rams, but then the Rams weren't good, and the Lions got better and better picks as the year went on. Is there a world where the Packers are like, you know what, we don't need picks this year. We'd rather make a deal for next year, and if you guys are good, if the Jets get to a place, or you're terrible, our pick slides. Like, how do those picks work?
The way that NFL teams generally look at picks is, if you get a pick a year later, it's like downgrading it around. Mm. A first-round pick next year is like a second-round pick this year. Now, there's an argument to be made because of the quarterbacks at the top of the 2024 draft, and we won't name names, but I think everybody who watches college football knows who they are. You could argue that 2024 draft picks are actually more valuable right now because if you're a team that's going to try to trade up and get a quarterback in next year's draft, amassing that capital at this time is beneficial to you. Or conversely, if you're the Packers and you got Jordan Love and you think he's your long-term answer, having those picks that somebody might want to trade up for might give you more collateral. But this is very much a Packers team that thinks that they can win with this roster. They've got weapons, albeit young ones, guys like Christian Watson, who we saw have an amazing second half of the season after he finally overcame the injuries. They've got some players on defense. There's a long way that they have to go. But this is not a tear-it-down rebuild thing, and they don't want to set up Jordan Love for failure.
Can that guy play at all?
Jordan Love?
Yeah, we have no idea.
If you're Green Bay, don't you want to get it done? It's like you just said, surround him, draft a receiver maybe in the first round, get as much talent around him to give him the best-case scenario, especially in year one with Rodgers leaving.
But do you do that at the expense of getting less than you think that the player is worth?
Right.
Because if you're willing to say, we don't care about the 2023 draft picks, the moment you get past the draft, now your leverage actually goes up in terms of the Jets have to make the deal. Mm-hmm. And they're on the timeline here. So, yes, to get 2023 draft picks, the pressure point for the Packers is before the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't get done before then, then you're into crazy town here where there's a lot of different things that can happen. I mean, go back.
I love crazy.
When Brett Favre.
We all do.
When Brett Favre divorced from the Packers in 2008, I was on the beat at the Green Bay Press Gazette.
Sure. Okay?
I'm sitting on a lawn chair outside the loading dock staring in, waiting for Favre to come out after meeting all day with Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson during camp. And this is at a time that the fans are booing Aaron Rodgers on the practice field.
I remember.
It's all going on. Favre takes a helicopter in during the family night scrimmage in like a lightning storm. We're all wondering, is the helicopter going to get hit by lightning and Favre's going to be dead? Yeah. It was a bizarre scene.
He had been in an armadillo ranch in Mississippi. I'm not making that up. That really was.
And this had been months of this where he was doing interviews on Greta Van Susteren on Fox News.
Right.
Like two whole shows with Greta Van Susteren where it was just Favre talking.
A lot of Buss Cook and his name was everywhere.
And Ted Thompson, who was a always reticent type of a GM, did very little public facing, actually set up a series of one-on-one interviews in June because Favre was saying so much and the Packers weren't defending themselves. It got to the point they needed to lay out, the Packers needed to lay out their timeline. So I was one of the reporters selected to go and sit down with Ted one-on-one on like a hot June morning. And it still was 2 months away from resolution. Favre had to show up and the Packers were going, they were being asked, is he going to practice? Is Favre going to be on the field? And they had to be like, well, we're working through it. One of the big differences in that situation was the Packers approached that like a normal trade. They talked to multiple different teams. Mm. It actually came down to the Bucs or the Jets at that time. Favre wanted to go to the Bucs because they were playing the Packers, I want to say, in like week four. And he wanted to play him. He wanted to be in the conference and be able to play his old team. Yeah. Ted Thompson didn't want Favre in the conference. So ultimately, they agreed with the Jets. Yeah. Favre then had to accept the trade with the Jets. They had long conversations with none other than Woody Johnson, who, of course, was just on a plane out to California to see Aaron Rodgers. They sold him on, hey, we got some land outside of New York where you can go hunt on your off days. They sold Favre on this whole thing.
I like that.
This was the trade compensation. Okay, it was Favre and a future seventh for a third round pick, which if you're Aaron Rodgers, you're sitting there and saying, I was there. I remember what happened with Brett. Why are you trying to get more than that for me? Rodgers is actually older now than Favre was then, which is somebody who's covered that entire span in the NFL makes me feel extraordinarily old. But if you're Rodgers, you don't want the Jets giving up a whole bunch of picks that you could use to build up the team right now when you're maybe on a one-year plan with the Jets. I want the maximum value. So you got a lot of
Packers are asking for some stuff the Jets don't want to give. This is the same thing with Lamar. Whatever Lamar's asking for, the Ravens don't want to give. And I just look at the 13th overall pick, and the Jets have it, and I bet the Packers want it. We're giving you Rodgers. Give us the 13, and if I had to pick one sticking point in this, I bet they don't want to, and they're saying give it to us. It's Rodgers. They're asking for something that they won't give.
And if you get a one next year, to bring up that point again, what are the odds with Aaron Rodgers and that talented young roster that the pick is higher than number 13?
Yeah.
Odds are it's going to be lower. Odds are it's going to be a worse pick, and it's a year away. Mm. So, I mean, it's complicated. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't think of a lot of situations that are similar. There were some similarities with Russell Wilson last year, where it was very much only going to be one team, but they tried to negotiate in that what they thought was a fair way to work out the trade. Mm-hmm. And obviously Russell Wilson didn't play well in year one, but you're betting all that draft capital on the fact that this guy is going to be your player, not just for this year, but for years to come, which is also one of the things. Last year, if Rodgers had been traded, it would have cost the Broncos less to get him than it took to get Russell Wilson. Even though Rodgers is coming off consecutive MVPs. Why? Because with Aaron Rodgers, you're getting the whole picture. Yes, the player who's won four NFL MVPs, but also the annual willy or won't he dance, and you have no idea what the situation's going to be in 2024.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name. That's my game.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50. And it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
We now welcome back to the show a five-time NFL Executive of the Year. He won three Super Bowls as the Vice President of Player Personnel with the New England Patriots. Now, he's our NFL Network front office analyst. Say hello to Scott Pioli.
What up, Scott?
What's up, Scott?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
All right, Scott, we talked about how Lamar Jackson seems to be allowing the rest of the league to set the market for a 26-year-old former league MVP. How do you see this situation playing out?
I think he's going to be a Raven. I really do. I know that last year I thought it was going to get done in training camp because I had talked to both sides a little bit. Not that anyone said anything directly. It just sounded like it was in a good place. I still think he's going to be a Raven because the bottom line is this. The Ravens need him. You don't have a quarterback of that stature, of that ability, and let him out the door. But on the flip side, I think that what Lamar's been doing here is trying to maximize whatever the value is and whatever the cash is that he's going to get. Because let's face it, each time he says no, each time he waits, the price only goes up, and he knows that. However, this is starting to get to that point where it may get a little bit dangerous, and he'll have to take a deal, I believe, at some point in time. So to me, I think it's been sparked by Lamar because the market certainly hasn't headed backwards for him. But to me, I think this needs to get done because at some point in time, as nice as they've all played in the sandbox, this may take on a different life if things start to get too uncomfortable for folks.
There's going to be books written about that one. I can't wait to read it. Meanwhile, Scott, pro days are coming. We love them. We need them. And yet, maybe Joe Sports Fan would say,
We got game tape. Just pull up the game tape. Why do you need to go to a pro day? Tell us why they're so important and so crucial to this whole process.
Kyle, no, I love this question because I think that they're very important. I think that the pro days are important, and I think individual private workouts are important. And the reason they are is, yes, we have the tape, and yes, the primary thing that you want to look at is how the player perform, how he plays on tape. But when you're building a team, you want to know what you're bringing to your team. When you get to these pro days, you have an opportunity to spend time with the individual workouts to see a lot of different things, to spend time with them, to see how much they pay attention, to see how much they've prepared. Are they taking this part of the process seriously? Are they the kind of person that's going to fit into your culture? One of the other things I always love to watch was seeing how many teammates turned out for the players' workout, how many teammates supported them. Because again, in the end of the day, you're building a team. And is this a guy that's well-liked by underclassmen? Is he well-respected by underclassmen? There's a lot of little detail things. And to me, the draft is all about the details and paying attention to everything. And that encompasses a whole lot of things, Kyle.
Scott, you're looking at the big picture. That's how you go and get your guy and you find the best one that's going to work for you. You've been on our network all week long during a free agency frenzy. It's been great to watch, and you've had your eye on the whole league. Who do you believe has really improved their state of the nation the most in free agency?
Jamie, I love the word that you use because I'm going to talk about improved. And the team that I was most impressed with coming out of the gate, that I'm still most impressed with in terms of improving, is the Chicago Bears. But I think Bears fans, you know, are getting excited, and they should be. But they also need to manage their expectations, because I don't think the 85 Bears are going to be rolling out there next year. But this is going to be an improved team in a division that I think is really starting to change, because I'm not sure what direction the Packers are headed. Yes, I believe the Lions are ascending, and I'm just not sure what the Minnesota Vikings are. But as I watch what Ryan Poles is doing here and the way that he's doing it, I love it, because he's planning for the future, but he's also taking care of the now. They have improved their football team. They've brought in Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards, who play to the style and the way that their head coach Matt Eberflus wants to play. The other thing he's doing is he's doing contracts that are not going to cost them cap or put them in cap peril in the future. So I think he's doing a great job of the now and the future, while also collecting draft picks, because once his quarterback, Justin Fields, who they believe is the guy, becomes a player that needs that next contract, they've got a lot of draft picks to keep their salary cap in check. Smart move by Poles.
Yeah, we've all had a ton of fun watching the Bears work, starting with them trading out of that number one spot. And there's another team in the NFC that we've been watching, and that's the NFC champion Eagles. They've lost several key pieces on defense. They've been able to bring some guys back as well. But, Scott, tell us about the challenges for a front office after a team makes it to the Super Bowl, just trying to keep that entire team together.
Jason, as you know, it's so difficult. It really is. But it's one of those things where everyone gets rewarded. When you have success as a team, it's because of the players. And the players deserve opportunities. And the bottom line becomes, at some point in time, you can't keep them all. So some of those players have to go. And really, it's one of the most heartbreaking things that happens when you have people that you're a part of success with, and then you have to part ways. But what's interesting is not just the Eagles. I want to mention the Kansas City Chiefs here. To me, who are they're a fascinating organization right now. The Kansas City Chiefs have had success, just like the Eagles have had success, but the Chiefs' success has been even greater. But what's happened in Kansas City is they've now become what I believe to be a destination, different but similar to what we were early in our run with the New England Patriots. And what happens is you get a lot of players who see a future Hall of Fame coach, a future Hall of Fame quarterback, and guys are sitting there, hey, I either want a championship, or if I get with them, I'm going to look a little bit shinier. Maybe I can get a better deal. And we're watching some players look at the Kansas City Chiefs, where maybe they're not able to retain good players because they're having success too, but there's other players that want to come out and maybe get themselves either a championship or their next contract. Kansas City has become a destination, and it's going to be interesting to see when the Eagles can also do that, when teams believe in everything that they've got going for themselves.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.